free. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day.
Serve a mighty big God. Amen. Let's stand this evening. This is 31 in your hymn book. I'm standing on the promises of Christ, my King, through eternal ages.
Spirit's call. And I'm resting in my Savior as my all in all. And I'm standing on the promises of God. Yes, I'm standing, standing on the promises.
Why don't you greet one another in the name of the Lord?
Good to be in church again this evening. Sure enjoyed that this morning and looking for more tonight, what the Lord would have for us. And I've got a couple prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord this evening. My mom's sister, Linda, she fell and fractured her right hand and her right ankle, so I want to remember her in prayer. And then also a school friend of my mom's just had outpatient surgery on her back, so I want to remember her in prayer for a quick recovery. How many of you have an unspoken request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Buckles, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Is he able to do it?
Amen.
Yes, sir. All we have to do is believe. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to meet us here this evening, Lord, with your presence and with your strength and power. We know that, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that, God, that you're God. And, Lord, that there's nothing that's too small or too large for you to do. You can do anything you want to do. And we ask you, Lord, to enable us as believers of thy word to anchor into it, Lord, and to believe with all of our heart, Lord, that we might obtain the promises of God. Because you promised it, Lord, and you told us that we could have it. Lord, and when we believe, we shall have it. Because there's nothing that you say that won't come to pass. Everything you say has to be. It can't go no other way. It has to be exactly what you say. And we believe that, Lord, with all of our heart. We pray that you'll join us together tonight. Lord, in your presence, in your strength as one unit here this evening. That we might believe your word, Lord Jesus. Lord, in all that you say that you will do. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you with all of our heart. Bless us together as we unite in mind and heart here this evening, Lord, for your word and for the contents of your word. Bless us together through the remaining of this service. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
God bless you. You may be seated. We've had requests for several songs this evening, so at this time we're going to have Sister Stephanie Duval and Brother Daryl Layton have a song for us. Sure appreciate that. It's pretty much my life story. It's how I feel about every day. God bless you. At this time, we have a special from Sister Chloe.
Right.
sure appreciate that. At this time, we're going to ask Sister Angela and Sister Rhonda if they'd sing for us. Sure appreciate our special singing. Amen. Amen. So I'm not just singing this because of what Brother Lilly said this morning. I had this on my heart to sing this morning, and it didn't work out that I sang it. But after he told that story about the rock, the bear that was the rock, I thought, what a fitting song. Maybe we could try this. I go to the rock.
and again tonight. I go to the rock of my salvation, to the stone that the builders reject, run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Oh, when the earth below is sinking sand, on Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock.
Amen. Aren't you thankful we have a rock that we can go to? Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this tonight before Brother Ron would come, and let's just worship the Lord together. Amen. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, I believe this holds true tonight. Oh, when pangs of death seized o'er my soul, unto the Lord I cry. Oh, till my made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be denied. Till my Jesus came and he made me whole, I would not be denied. Oh, like say that your Lord is God, and he will not even hear your prayer. But you can praise the Lord, friend, the work's already done, and Christ my Lord, he is here. So now I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. Till my Satan says that this message is wrong. There's mistakes here and there. Oh, but praise the Lord, vindication has been done. Christ, the mystery of God, is revealed. So now I would not be denied. Oh, no, I would not be till my move is on, my Lord, the move is on. Oh, the move is on, my Lord, the move is on. Oh, I can hear the rustling in the mulberry trees. So I know, I know, I know the move is on. Oh, won't you move on, brother? Just move on, sister. This is the moving day. Why don't you move a little closer?
Tonight. Amen. Isn't it great to be saved?
Amen.
Just think, we could be unsaved tonight, but by His grace, we're saved.
Amen.
We thank God for that today, and we want to say before we get into the message tonight that we sure appreciate everything everybody has done, all the handshakes, the fellowship with the saints, and it's just special. And I will tell you, keep that here. Keep that spirit here where the unity of the brothers, we want you to keep that. So now Satan doesn't want you to keep that. He'll want to try to destroy that. But remember, greater is He that lives in you.
Amen.
Than He's in the world. So we thank God for that tonight. We've sure enjoyed ourselves, and we really appreciate it. Let's go tonight in the scripture, 2 Kings chapter 8. Second Kings chapter 8, beginning with verse number 1. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, go thou to thine household, and sojourn whatsoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and shall also come upon the land 7 years. The woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God. She went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. It came to pass at the 7 years end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines. She went forth to cry unto the king for her house, for her land. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha hath done. It came to pass as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life. Then behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, My lord, O king, this is the woman, this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. And so the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, Restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land even unto now. Let's pray. How many want the Lord to remember you in prayer? Lord, we love you today. We thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your presence. We felt here this morning, Lord, and even the previous services, Lord, we know that you were here. And Lord, we pray that you just be with us tonight as we come down, Father, in the last service of the meeting here. Pray that you bless the people for their kindness. Bless the people, Lord, for their spirit. And truly, Lord, we pray that you bless us tonight. Bless Brother Nathan, Lord, and his wife Rebecca in the church here, Lord. May you help them, Father, and keep them, Lord, because truly, Lord, we know that you are our keeper, Father. We love you today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. You know, I tell everybody that when we travel different places, different meetings, and sometimes you get there, fellowship with the saints long enough to get to like everybody, and then you got to leave. That's just the way it is, you know. But one day, we won't have to do that anymore, will we? One day when we get there, we can fellowship for all eternity, and we're looking forward to that time. So again, we appreciate everything that everybody has done. And we'll be praying for you. You pray for us. Because let me tell you, we're all special targets. Any believer of the word is a special target. And truly, if you're doing something for God, you're a special target. And we want the Lord to bless you and keep you. Look at tonight, and we want to talk about a complete restoration. We see in the scripture this woman, that the Shunammite woman, which is a very familiar story and places. I remember several years ago, us going to Israel, when we went into the country of Jordan, came down through Mount Nebo and in toward Jericho. And between Mount Nebo and Jericho, we came through the village of Shunem, where the Shunammite woman was and where she dwelt. You know, she was not a Jewish woman. She was a Gentile woman. And as she come, the story that we talk about her, that many preachers have preached about her, you know, she was just a normal person every day, just like you and I are. Every day, her desire was to survive for the day and live with her family and do things. And God, for some reason, chose that her story would be immortal among people, because it's been told and time and time again. And preachers preach about it, people talk about it, and we realize that God has used that so much. Now, Brother Brandon was talking about on the tape, and he was talking about how that the little story, how this woman came to meet Elisha. You know, I told you this morning how I met the Elijah this day. When I came up here as a young person, my parents came up for the meetings here, and we heard that voice, and we never got away from that voice. And tonight, I still love to hear that voice. Amen. And tonight, that voice is what we desire to hear, as a voice of God. So Brother Brandon talked about, I said, let's take some people. He talked about in the message, respects. He said, let's take the Shunammite woman with the same prophet Elisha. He talked about, she was not actually an Israelite. She was from Shunem. But she believed in God. And she seen this man pass through the town and heard him speak. And she seen the signs that he had done. He said, it's told in history. He said, I don't know whether it's true or not. One day, a bunch of wild dogs is trying to catch a little girl. He said, now this isn't the scripture. It's a story that I read. And the Shunammite woman was standing on the corner. And she saw that these dogs was going to kill this little girl. And this holy man was passing through town. He raised up his staff to God, cried out for mercy for them little children like that. And the dogs turned and went away from him. He said, whether it was correct or not, he said, it sounds like it could be, but I don't know. But anyhow, he said, the woman said that she perceived this was a holy man. In other words, she saw something in the life of Elisha to know this man was different. You know, we're talking about the second ministry of Elijah. You know, we speak like that because it's like common language today. But Elisha may not have recognized it as a second ministry of Elijah. Oh, he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And he believed that. And today we come to church, and I'd be grateful if God pour out a double portion of the Spirit of God upon us. And, you know, we know the ministries of Elijah because God sent Elijah in this day, and he pointed us back and showed us, and he pointed us ahead to what's coming. And he also revealed to us that God had a ministry of Elijah in this day. And we thank God for that today. And so she saw there was something special about this man. And she believed. She saw the miracles of them. Maybe she heard the stories of Elijah. And she heard what Elijah did at the time of Ahab. She did heard about the things that when he withstood the prophets of Baal. And he went on his journey. And, you know, he went up in the mountains and he went in the cave. And all those things. She might have heard those stories about what Elijah did. But one thing she probably noted that you and I would know today, because the scripture said she believed. And Brother Brandon said she was a believer. And let me tell you, she no doubt looked when she heard Elisha talking. She said it sounded like Elijah to her. Right. It sounded like Elijah because he was saying the same things that Elijah did. Right. And let me tell you today, the real ministry today, the real fivefold ministry, we do the same thing today. Amen. We don't want our own ministry. We want to repeat what
what he said. Because we know what he said. We are safe there. And we're blessed there. And we're glad to be there, aren't we? We're glad to be echoes of that voice. Let me say this. I'm not ashamed to be a minister today. I wish I could be a better minister today. But I'm not ashamed to be a minister. But also, I'm not ashamed to be identified with Malachi 4 today. I'm not ashamed to be identified with the message of William Branham today. Let me tell you, because of that, we have seen Christ come alive amongst the people. Oh, we believe that today, don't we? So we see the story in the Bible here where he came to the woman and he spoke to her and he said, go. Well, thy and thine household, go wherever you can go. And now look at it. The spoken word of the prophet is going to save her life.
Right.
Oh, no, it saved our life too, didn't it? The spoken word of the prophet, now she believed. This was the same prophet that restored her son to her. And you know the story so well. How she was wanting to do something, Brother Bram said, for the man of God, he came through, and how she went down and she talked to her husband after she recognized him to be a man of God. She said, we want to do something for him. And she didn't do it because she would be blessed by it. She just loved the man. She loved what he taught. She loved his spirit, and she wanted to do something for him. So she went down and fixed a little room. And fixed it up for him, put a bed in there. You know how it is, a pitcher and the water. She'd tell you to take food there. And when he would come through from the different Sabbaths or maybe different times of sacrifice, maybe on a different errand that the Lord had given him to do, she had things waiting in there for him. And as you remember, he'd come into the scripture, and he'd come into the room. He laid up on the bed. And he goes to Gehazi, and he said, oh, look at what this woman has done for us. What can we do for her? What can we do for her? And you know, Gehazi said, well, you know, all the things he started naming off. He said, she has no children. And he said, I believe, you know, it'd be nice if she had a child. So he calls her in and says, look, I know your husband's old. I know maybe you're along in years. But at this time, next year, you're going to have a son. And then she did. She had a son. You know, I was thinking of this as I was looking at it. I don't know how many times we've been blessed to be in a lot of meetings with Brother Billy Paul. And I don't know how many women, ladies in this message that he's told them, you're going to have a child. Now, let me tell you, they did have a child. I believe Angela could tell you down in Georgia, I believe it was three sisters in that church. And he told you about this time next year, you all will have your child. And it came right up to the next year, the day before their meetings, that the last one had their child. Let me tell you, that's the kind of God we serve tonight.
Amen.
I remember several years ago, we was down in Louisiana, a little church, just a little tiny church, maybe a tenth the size of this one. And a little couple came up, and they said, you know, we've been praying for years, the Lord to give us a child. And I said, he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we prayed for that couple. And you know, time went on. And I came through the next year. And what? They got to introduce their baby to me. And I thought that was not that I was anything, but he's everything. He is everything tonight. And all we have to do is believe it. Believe what he said. So we see this woman then. He's going to give her a child if she had the child. And you know, the story was out there. It went along several years. Brother Ben said about 12 one place. One place he said about 16. And then the child went on. Time out in the field with his father. And you know, he had a heat stroke. And he came in. And the Brother Ben said the child laid upon her lap. She held him. This is a one. You know, she told the prophet, he said, I'm going to give you a son. She said, oh, don't do this to me. You know, but he said, look, I'm going to give you a child. And so the child died. And she didn't get upset. She didn't get distraught. The people were mourning. They were, Brother Ben said, they were screaming. They were mourning. They were crying. She went and laid that baby on the bed. And she saddled up an animal. And she headed straight. And she told her husband, said, I'm going to go find the man of God. He said, we don't know where he is. He might be off sacrificing somewhere. He may be off somewhere on a Sabbath somewhere. But she knew if she could just get to him, that everything would change.
All
And she rode there and he saw her coming, guys. And then Brother Jerry and I were talking about this story. He didn't know I was going to preach on tonight. But we were talking about this story yesterday. And she came. And when Gehazi saw her, you know, and Brother Elisha saw her, he said, Gehazi, go check on her. He says, everything good with thee is fine. All is well. Everything good with the baby, all is well. Because why? She knew this prophet had spoke to God and he gave her the child. He could restore the child unto her. Isn't that great? The same God that you and I serve tonight, the same God she was looking to in that very time of need. And that's what we need tonight. You know, sometimes we go through battles in life. We go through hard places. And, you know, sometimes it pulls the very being out of you. But tonight, we have a true message. We have a vindicated message. And it'll bring deliverance back to you. It'll restore you back.
Amen.
You know, I remember several years ago, we were preaching out in the road, Brother Nathan. You know, I work every day, and we preach. I remember one time I preached 9 services in 7 days in 5 states and worked every day. I thought I was Superman, I think. And I ended up in the hospital because I broke down in pneumonia and in the hospital. But you know, here's the thing of it is, you know, because we believe God is the same. You know, somebody says, well, you know, let me tell you this. I would rather wear out for Jesus Christ than rust on the sidelines. I would rather wear out for him than rust waiting for, you know, to happen. But I just remember, you know, trying to do that for God. And the Lord blessed the meetings. We had very good services. I traveled back and forth, went here and there. But, you know, God in the hospital there. And I remember they told me, said, you know, you got pneumonia in both lungs. And, you know, we were working. We were hiking back in an area and collecting water samples. We do environmental work. And this man had a gate on the road. And he said, I said, well, can we drive back there? He said, oh, no. He said, you get paid by the hour, don't you? I said, well, yeah, I guess I do. He goes, well, good, you can walk back in there then. It was 3 miles one way. So when I walked in, I found out why he wanted me to walk. Well, things he was growing back there wasn't supposed to be there. So we walked back in the back of that area. And I, you know, I'd been suffering sick, you know, because I'd been preaching and on the road and been broke down. And so as we got back there, the young man with me, I could feel a pull in my left lung. And he said, you all right? I said, yeah. I said, I think I've got problems here, but we'll be all right. And so I came back out the 3 miles and we got to the Jeep. He said, you want me to take you home? I said, you might as well just take me to the hospital and you just take me home because I know I've got pneumonia in my lung. And so they took me there. And I remember going into the hospital. And as I was there, and you know what I did, I couldn't get out. I couldn't go. But one thing I did do is I laid there in that bed. I looked up to the ceiling and I began to pray for every church I'd ever preached in. It's in my mind tonight, if I was in the, you know, in a room, I could see where you're sitting. I may not know your name, but I know where you're sitting at. And I began to pray for every church that I ever preached in that God would give them an old-fashioned revival, that God would bless them with his spirit. And let me tell you, one night the lady come in, and the presence of God was there, and this little black lady come in, and she was a nurse, and she felt that presence too, and she got all broke up. She couldn't even take my blood, and I was glad of it. And she left the room crying. She said, can't you feel that? I said, yes, ma'am, I can feel that. I said, he is here in this room. That's what we want. We want him in the room with us. It wasn't a few days he let me go home, and we went back to preaching and working again. But here's the thing if it is. You'll watch. Sometimes we can get broke down. Well, I remember, you know, I remember one time I come off the field and I'd been gone for weeks, weekends preaching somewhere, working every day in the field. And I told my wife, I said, we're going to go rent a cabin down in North Carolina. She said, what do you want to do? I said, absolutely nothing. You know, I had went so long I just felt empty on the inside. You know, you just give out, give out, give out. And I was just kind of empty. So we went and rented this cabin up in North Carolina. And, you know, we enjoyed Rhonda fixed some meals there. And we kind of rested a little bit. She goes, you know, they got a Bible bookstore down here in town, down in Boone, North Carolina. If you ever get a chance, go to the Cornerstone Bible bookstore. It's a really nice Bible bookstore. And so we went down there. And here I was, all give out. And I walked in, and you know, I was just kind of slumming along. They were kind of looking around different things. All of a sudden, I heard that soft Christian music. And I began to see pictures there. There was a picture there of George Washington praying in the snow. I remember giving that to my pastor. I bought it from my pastor, Brother Roy, gave it to him. And Brother Roy made a statement I thought was pretty good. He said, you know, I gave it to him one year, and he saw that, and he said, Brother Ron, I said, that's a beautiful picture. He's got it in his den today. And he said, you know what, though? You know, him being a veteran in World War II, the things he went through, so his country could have freedom to worship God and do things. And he said, you know what? He said, if George would have known what this country was going to turn out to, you know what he'd have said in his prayer? Lord, give it to the British. Lord, give it to the British for what has turned out today. But you know, as it was aired up, I began to hear that music, and I began to see different paintings and different things. There was one there about the Roman Colosseum, but the early saints, they would burn them at the stake, and the little saints were praying there. It was getting ready to turn the lines out loose on them. You can see it in the picture. And all of a sudden, I began to feel real good in that store. And I tell you, when I came back, I preached two sermons on that visit to that bookstore. But let me tell you tonight, that's what we need. Sometimes we're in the battle. We're fighting things. We're fighting Satan. But tonight we serve a God that is a restorer. And he'll give you strength when you don't have strength. He'll give you joy when you didn't have joy. He'll give you inspiration when you're not inspired. He'll do that. That's what he did for this little woman. She went to the prophet. And you know, when he said, is all well with thee, is all well with thy child, she said, all is well. Because Brother Ben said she knew that was her point of contact. He was a prophet of God that had given her that child. And God had used him to get that child to her. And he could do it. He could restore him back. And I liked what Brother Jerry was saying yesterday. He gave Gehazi the staff so it would hold that child till he got there. Amen. And then, you know, he says where St. Paul got the idea of putting handkerchiefs on people because of the anointing. But you know how it was when she came back with the prophet of God. She was not ashamed to be identified with the prophet of God. Oh, she rode back with him on a mule. You don't see in the scripture where she come in. He come in later. So they come into town together. And I pray it's the same way today. When we come into town, I pray we got the message of the hour with us when we come in. And I pray it goes with us when we go out. We want it with us every day. And so as she came in, they're mourning, they're crying, and, you know, they're weeping. Brother Branham said to see Elijah, you know, he walked in and he laid on that child. And you know, that child sneezed 7 times. And he come alive. And he called for the woman. And she went into the door. And there was her child. He presented her son to her. And he wasn't just a son that had partial limbs. He wasn't sons that lost maybe his feet, or because he hadn't breathed in that long, maybe his mind was gone. He didn't give a child like it to her. He gave her a full restored child back to her. He was a living son. He was a son that could go out and do things with his daddy again. Somebody could go out and do things with her again. Her son was alive. And we're alive today because God sent a message and has brought life unto us.
Amen.
He was fully restored. And so then, time went on. You know, time goes on. Let me say this. You know, God can bless you and do something for you, and don't think that's the last battle Satan's ever going to give you.
All right.
You know, as I was talking about this morning, you climb those mountains. I climb for 8 hours, I never get to the top. That's not the last mountain I've ever climbed. That's not the last valley I've ever went through.
All right.
But we're going to go through valleys. We're going to go back up on the mountaintop. We're going to enjoy our blessings. But down in the valleys, when you find out what you really are. You know, just several months ago last year, about May of last year, that I flew to New Zealand. And I had bought a trip on an auction to hunt. And they flew me 25 miles from the nearest road, probably in a helicopter. And they set us off in a little camp, a little tent about big as this podium was my home for several days. And let me tell you, I was happy too. And I looked around when we landed. Every mountain peak around us was 7,000 feet vertically. And the guy with me said, "Oh, look where we are." I said, "Yeah, man, we're in heaven. That's where we are." And we began to climb the mountains and go places. Now think about it. I give you my testimony this morning. Every step up those mountains is a victory. You know, when he looked down, he said, "Oh my, we've got to climb up." I'm saying, "Thank you, Lord, for the victory. Thank you for the strength, Lord. Because of you, I can enjoy the blessings of this." And we had a great time there. And I'm going to go into that one. We'll leave that for later. And, but see, anyway, we've got valleys we're going to be dropped into. We've got mountaintops we're going to do it. The key is we're looking forward to it because we know God is with us every step of the way. So we see then this story, and you know the story so well. And we look at Elisha now tells her, "You go live wherever you can live because there's coming a famine in the land. And it's going to be here 7 years. But after 7 years, it'll be gone." So for 7 years, she had to go dwell. She had to go dwell among the Philistines. She had to go down and dwell where they worship Dagon, the fish god. And think about it. She must see him go to the temple. She might see him bow down before Dagon. And you know what she saw? A rock. Just like I saw a rock this morning. Dagon might have been made of wood or rock or whatever he was. That's all she saw. The Philistines saw, "Oh, how great it was." But she was there because she had invited the voice of God in that hour to her home. What she did was she brought Elisha and fixed that little roof for him. And she put the sign up, "This room, this little building belongs to the man of God." She didn't just partially give it to him. She dedicated it to him. And let him have it because she saw God in his life. And so she, when she went down to Philistine country, you don't see where she worshiped Dagon. She didn't go out and be an idol worshiper. She is still a believer. Aren't you glad for that? That God can so fill you with his spirit, no matter where we go, no matter the people we come in contact with, we know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. For 7 years, she and her son, her family dwelt there. 7 years. She was on her running clock. The clock was running the very day she left. 7 years. Oh, she might have went down, endured the first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth and sixth. But when it come to that sixth year, she knew in a year she was going home. Because he said, now she can maybe hear all the stories back up in the village of Shunem. Maybe some of the families, maybe the people they knew, caravans coming through, how terrible the famine was. Uh-huh. And you know what she'd say? "Thank you, God, for a prophet. Thank you for a prophet because I'm alive today because of the spoken word. Amen. He told me what to do. And thank you, Lord, for the prophet." But she was counting down time. She knew she was going to go home one day. Aren't you and I doing the same thing today? We're all on a running clock. But we know one day we're going home. We're going home. We got a heavenly home waiting on us. So at the end of that 7 years, when you know, no doubt the nation of Israel maybe said, or even Moab or wherever she was at there, they said, "Oh," said, "the famine is over." When they declared it over, you know what she told her Philistine neighbors? "I'm going back." They're going to say it's 7 years. 7 years. You probably lost all that you had. Somebody's probably moved on your farm. Somebody's moved on your property. She said, it doesn't matter. The same prophet that told me to come down here, he's the same one that can help me. Think about it. The same message that brings deliverance to one brings deliverance to all. And so she comes back home. And she went straight to the king. And we'll look at it this evening. And a woman arose and after the saying of the man of God, she went with her household, sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. Came to pass at the end of the 7 years in, that 7 years in, that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines. And she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. She went there. Maybe somebody was in the house. Maybe somebody was there in the land. But you know, she knew that there was something that could happen. She needed something to happen. She went. She didn't go, amen, to the local judge. She didn't go in there to the local person there on the farm. She went straight to the king. Amen. And let me tell you tonight, that's what you and I do. When we have a need of God, we can have a direct line to the king. Amen. And we can speak to him. And him, our prayer can change things. Our prayer can bring him on the scene. Yes. Right. And so she went to the king. And the king now, in verse 4, said, and the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. I said, tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha has done. Now, let's look at it. And we look at it just a minute. Elisha, we know the story. Number one, he got a double portion of the ministry of Elijah. You know, no doubt, as she went to Philistine country, she went down along Jericho, or she went down some of the places there, and she went by the spring that Elisha threw meal in. It was a bitter spring, right, and nobody could drink out of it. But remember, he threw salt or meal, whatever it was, in the spring, and God healed the spring. And I'm a personal witness tonight that I have drank from that spring too. And the scripture said it's still good to this day. And I believe it's still good today because I have drank from that spring. And I can tell you, it's just as good a water as you'll drink anywhere. And so she, no doubt, traveled by there. Maybe she even drank from the spring as she went down through by the Jericho country and down to the land there. And she drank from it. And she said, all I knew was one. You know the story then, how that the widow and the woman had those sons that were in bondage and they were in debt. And he told her, what do you do? Go get some vessels. And not if you run out of vessels, you go borrow some. And God provided oil in those vessels, enough oil that woman could pay the debt so her sons wouldn't be sold into bondage. And he told her, you sell that, you pay the debt, and you and your family live off of what you sell. That woman had a testimony too. You know, he even helped multiply barley and 4 ears of corn. He fed those men. We see that God used him in special ways. Then in one story I really like, and you know you've heard it many times. You know, this king, Jehoram, that was there, he knew Elisha. Because one day they went out, he and Jehoshaphat went out to fight the Moabites. And they went out in the desert and they didn't take any water. And when they did, you know, the people were going to perish. The army of Israel was going to perish. So Elisha, he said, well, let's call Elisha. The king dealt with Elisha before. He knew Elisha from different things. Think even one time Elisha even saved his life. You know, when the king of Syria wanted to kill the king of Israel, and every time he set a trap, and he set that trap for him, I'm sure he sent out his best spies. I'm sure he sent out the most cunning of his army. And they set a trap for the king of Israel and his people was able to come through. But every time they set a trap, God revealed to Elisha, you tell the king not to go there because there's a trap. And then we know he bypassed it. And then they sent the army down to Syria. And then Gehazi now was told, remember, he's talking to the king. And he said, you know, old king, we were there in Dothan. You remember the story so well. I said, we got up that morning. I looked around and I saw we were encircled about with the Syrians. And I was afraid. But Elisha come out and said, God, you open the eyes of my servant. Because there's more for us than they are against us. And ain't that great tonight? You and Jesus are a majority. There's more for us tonight than all the imps of Satan he'll send by. Amen. Because why? There's more for us. The Lord opened his eyes. He wasn't afraid anymore. The army come down. They said, will you tell us where Elisha is? He said, come on, I'm going to show you where he's at. He didn't lie to him. He told him he's right. He's going to show him where he was. He took him down into Samaria there. And the king comes out. And what does he say? Oh, shall I smite him? Shall I smite him, Elisha? In other words, they're blinded now. They don't know what's going on. I can smite him. And Elisha said, oh, no. We're going to feed him. And we're going to send them back to their master. Now, that's the way to conquer your enemy, isn't it? That's the way. You be good to somebody, then you'll conquer your enemy. And we see then he did that. And then their eyes come up and they realize where they were. And they also recognized who Elisha was and that he saved their life. He saved their life. Now Gehazi is rehearsing this to the king. He said, oh king, remember you went out to the desert. We talked about that. And you needed water. And said, you called Elisha. And when he showed up, he wasn't in a good mood. The prophet wasn't in a good mood. Matter of fact, he kind of chided Jehoshaphat. And you tried to talk to him. He said, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even talk to you. Right. I'm sure the king remembered that. But he said, I wouldn't even talk to you if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat. And he kind of chided Jehoshaphat. But some way, somehow, they gave him a musical instrument. He began to play music, and he got into the Spirit. And that's what we want to do, isn't it? We want to get in the Spirit of God. And when he did, then he told him what to do. You go out, and you start digging ditches. And how much water did they get? As much ditch as they dug. How much blessing do we want from God? As much as we can get. I want every bit of the blessing I can get from God, don't you? I don't want just a little. I don't want a shallow ditch blessing. I want a full depth as hard as I can dig, as deep as I can go. I want the blessing of God. And so they dug ditches. And Brother Bram said this. They opened up ditches that had already been there before. Because when the Israelites come through, and we talked about it, they sung about it tonight, we talked about it this morning. The rock came through, followed the children of Israel, giving its water. And let me tell you, that wasn't just a little bit of water coming out of that rock. Brother Bram said that was 40,000 gallons a minute coming out of that rock. And it watered all the animals. It gave water to all the people. And they enjoyed the blessings of God. There was enough water there, it created ditches. And the water flowed down, everybody enjoyed it. That's the kind of blessings we want. That's the kind of meetings we want. Where everybody feels the presence of God.
Right.
You know, it was a channel. This church can be a channel. It can be a channel. And because God can use you if you're an open channel. And so it created ditches. The water flowed through them. And all he did was tell them to go back and open those up. You know the story they dug and then the Moabites come on the scene. They saw that water there. They thought they had all died, killed themselves. They rushed in. But they didn't find an army that was weak. They didn't find people that were dead, that they thought were dead. They found people that had been drinking from the rock. And when they drank from the rock, they had strength. They had courage. They had a will to fight. They had a will to stand up for the right thing. And they had a will to enjoy. They were enjoying the blessings of God. When those men heard the Moabites coming, they didn't say, "Oh, I hope we can fight them." They said, "Victory is ours. It's victory. Today's a victory day." And they won the victory. They defeated the Moabites. Gehazi is rehearsing this to the king. Now let me say this. God knows what we need before we even ask. How many believe that tonight?
Amen.
God knows what we need before we even ask. He's already made a way of escape.
Right.
He's already provided for us. He knows what we need. Turn your Bibles. Just get your Bibles out. Let's turn back now to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 13. And let's look back. Let's go back in time. You've heard the story about the Shunammite woman. You've heard the story how she, what she did for Elisha. You've heard the story now. Gehazi is rehearsing the many miracles that Elisha had God did through Elisha. And let's go back and look. You know, it's easier for us today to go back and look at the promises of God for the Old Testament. It's good to look, see the ones for the New Testament. But what about ours today? What about your life today? Sometimes it pays us. Just go back and see what God has done for you.
Amen.
Satan will tell you everything that's not happened to your life, but think about what God has already done for you.
Amen.
Let's look at that. Verse 13 of chapter 4. And he said unto him, "Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king?" You know, that's the first thing Elisha said to Gehazi for her. "Do you want me to speak to the king for her? You may speak to the king or to the captain of the host?" And she said, "I dwell among my own people." And he said, "Well, what is there to be done for her?" Gehazi answered, Verily, she had no child, and her husband's old. He said, "Call her." And when he called her, she stood at the door. Said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." She said, "Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie to thine handmaid." And the woman conceived and bare a son of that season that Elisha had said to her, according to the time of life. The first thing he says to her, "Do you want me to speak to the king?" Brother Bram said, you want me to speak to the king for you? Because I am friends with the king. I know the king. Oh, no, he didn't know the natural king. He knew the spiritual king too, didn't he? And he said, "I know the king. I'll speak to him for you if there's something you want me to do." She said, "Nay, no, you don't have to do that." But let me tell you, God knew her need before the famine ever showed up. He knew her need before Elisha told her to go dwell among the Philistines for 7 years. You see, God was going to use the life of Elisha to speak to the king. He didn't say he would spoke to him direct. It did say that Gehazi told him of all the miracles that Elisha had done. And those miracles spoke to the heart of the king. Oh, that's what we want tonight. Oh, we want to thank you for all his miracles. We want to thank you for his mercy and his grace tonight. We want to thank you for the time he healed us when we didn't deserve to be healed. We want to thank you for all he's done for us and our families. We want to thank him tonight. So, he said, "Do you want me to speak to the king?" It doesn't say even Elisha was there, but Gehazi is speaking to him. And he began to rehearse to him. Verse 4, and the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha has done." And it came to pass, as he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored cried to the king for her house. Remember, Brother Bram said, if you want Jesus to come near, do what? You talk about him. If you want, oh, how many do we know he's doing that? Many times you might be in a store, You might be walking down the street. You might be sitting in the car. And you talk about what God's done for you. You can just feel His presence come near. And you raise your hands and you'll cry. You'll praise God. You'll know He's there because you talked about Him. That's what we want in our life. We want to speak about the great things Jesus has done for us.
Right.
Let me tell you this. If you always compare yourself to someone else, you'll be disappointed.
Right.
You say, look at this one got this blessing. Look at this one over here. Look at that one over there. You'll be disappointed. But you just look back at what Jesus has done for you.
Amen.
And you see what He's done for you. It will change things in your life. So this woman, you know, Gehazi said, look, I'm just telling the king about you. It even works in the natural. You know how it is? Maybe there's someone you've not seen for years. And you and your husband be talking, or you and your family. So, you know, I remember so-and-so. Aren't they nice people? We'd like to see them again. And the next thing you know, you walk in the store and there they are.
Right.
Because why? There was something about it. We are creators. We are creators.
Uh-huh.
And so they were talking about the woman, and who shows up? The woman who had the son restored. And she cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, oh, my lord the king, this is the woman, this is her son, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. She rehearsed the same story that Gehazi did. Is this your son? Yes, it is. I'm sure she didn't say, oh yeah, that's him. She'd say, here he is, bigger than life. Here he is, 7 years later. Here he is. He was just a child, but he's a grown man today. He's grown up. He didn't stop growing. He's grown up. This is my son. He might have been this age when God touched him, but he's this age now. His time has went on. You know, the son didn't quit growing. He kept growing. And he kept, time went on. Let me tell you today, when God blesses you, if it's a real blessing from God, it gets greater every day. Every day the blessing of God gets greater. When He fills you with the Holy Ghost, you said, oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. But today, what do you do? You say, oh, Lord, I really love you. It gets sweeter every day we live. Worshiping and living for Jesus Christ gets better every day.
Amen.
You know, we should get up. I told some people at home this a while back. You know, we should be able to get up and pray, say, good morning, Lord. Instead of saying, good Lord, it's morning.
Right.
It's according to how you approach the day.
Right.
Say, good morning, Lord. Just say, oh, good Lord, it's morning. Because you know your day is going to be a bad day when you get up that way.
All right.
I want a good things in my life, don't you?
Right.
So the king asked woman, she told him, so the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers. All. Her house, her land, everything that she owned, restore it. He's speaking to an officer. The king has gave responsibility to a certain officer, saying, you restore it back, all that was hers. Her land, her home, her land, whatever it is. All that was hers. And all the fruits of the field since the day she left the land, even up to now. In other words, all the fruits that was on every tree, all the fruits of the field, all her crops, all her land, all the hay, whatever it was, you restore all those fruits back. She didn't lose any fruits while she was gone. Matter of fact, God was saving them up for her. And let me tell you today, that's what God did this day. Here we are at the end of the seventh church age, and God had a certain officer appointed. His name was William Branham. And He said, your ministry, you'll go before us, and you will, your ministry is to restore back. You restored that bride tree. He didn't send a group of ministers. He sent one man. He's one of the priests, restoration of the bride tree. And because of that, today, you and I are blessed people.
Yeah.
And we realize all the fruits was in the first church age. Brother Branham said he poured into the second church. Didn't say he took them away. It said he gave them to them. Then all was in the second, he poured into the third. All the third into the fourth. All the fourth into the fifth. And all the fifth into the sixth. And finally all the sixth into the seventh. You and I are a blessed people. Amen. Because the fruits have been restored. The Spirit of God lives in us today. We have the same Holy Ghost they had the day of Pentecost. We have the same Spirit of God because God sent a certain officer and the prophet of God this age, and it was restored back to us.
Amen.
Thank God for that tonight.
Amen.
A full, complete restoration. You know, I've had people call me. Come over here, I'll explain this revelation to you. You know what I tell them? I don't have to come over there. I got the original.
Amen.
I got the original. I might like you a fellowship with saints. Us brothers talk about it. And then talk about the message of the hour is a great thing to do. And you know, they'll say, well, I've got something new over here. You do? Does it say the same thing he said?
Amen.
All right. If it did, I sure want it.
Amen.
But if it didn't, I'm not going to take it.
Right.
Because we want a complete restoration in our lives.
Amen.
We want that. Think about it. The voice of God in that day, she brought to her home. She could hear God's voice speaking to her, that Elijah ministry. And her home was never the same. Did it take away the trials? No. But it sure brought the victories.
Amen.
Did it mean that she didn't get to stay in her home? No, she had to leave. But it gave it to her back. It was restored back to her. Not only their home, not their land, but all the fruits. Think about it. All the time she's down enduring with the Philistines, God was storing up fruit for her.
Right.
What did God do for us? He stored up spiritual food for due season. And you and I today are enjoying the blessings of God. You know, you can hear a tape today. And you would declare, Brother Branham, sitting here looking at today's world. It's not just a message for yesterday. It's a message for today.
Right.
It's a message that will carry us through. And as I said, God's got a true fivefold ministry. And they're saying the same thing he did.
Right.
Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
We are a blessed people today because we have people that will point us back to the Word of God. It's not my message I'm preaching tonight. It's the message of God.
Right.
It's a message that God sent. And this day, and our job is just to point you to that message. It's amazing. People will come up, been around a message a long time, and they'll have a question on something. He said, well, did you go back and look at what he said about it? No. Well, that's a good place to start.
Amen.
We talk about reference points a few services back. Yeah, that's a good reference point to refer back to what he said.
Amen. Right.
Then you'll know how to approach something. Right. Let me say this tonight as we wind down, because you're good to preach to, and I got to look for a place to quit. And I don't want to wear out my welcome. You say, Brother Ron kept us up for... He does need a calendar instead of a watch. You know, I remember several years ago, I was just a young person. I told you my story. Got saved. 1974, I got saved. Best thing that ever happened to me. Still the best thing that ever happened to me. And I give my heart to the Lord. And I would love to tell you in 1974, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it didn't happen that way. It didn't. Oh, I died out to myself. You know, I died to the world. Whatever God's was, instead of getting up, preparing to deal something with the athletics like I was doing, I was getting up and praying early in the morning. I still like to get up and pray early in the morning. And I remember living with my parents. I go up on the mountain and pray 5 o'clock in the morning. Before I'd go to school, I'd go out there and pray. Because I just love to talk to him. And so, you know, time went on. I got married in 1976 God blessed me with a wonderful wife, blessed family. But you know, I still didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking honesty here. And then, come time, I realized that. come up 1986 years later. You know, sometimes we'll repent and sometimes we'll get all scoured out. But the key is we've got to be filled up.
Amen. All right.
We've got to have something on the inside. I don't want to go back to the world. I don't want him to send seven demons stronger than what he threw out of me before. I want to be true. I want to be a real believer, and I know you do too.
Amen.
February 1980, we had a little preacher from out in Galena, Missouri, Brother Buster Brown. And he was coming to preach for us. And I remember that week real well. I was working every day for a National Steel, driving 40 miles to work every day. And I thought, God, you know, here it is, 6 years later, and I don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But we got a meeting coming up next weekend. So Monday I started out. I began to pass the plate a little bit. I began to pray. I said, Lord, this could be my weekend. This could be the weekend for me. Come Tuesday. And my prayer was the same thing. I was up early. And I was praying, saying, God, I was listening to the message. I was trying to make sure everything was just out of the way that should be out of the way. If there was someone I needed to talk to, I went and talked to them. I wanted to make sure everything was clear, that my ditches were open, because I wanted them filled up. I wanted them filled up to the brim. And every day I went, we had service on Wednesday night. And still, I was looking to that weekend. Come up Friday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But let me tell you, Sunday morning, when the service started, I went to church and I said, God, I'm not going to hold the same. I want to be a new creature when I go home. I want you in my life. I want the Spirit of God dwelling in me. Sunday morning came and went. It didn't happen, but let me tell you, Sunday night, they had a prayer line. And I went up in that prayer line, and when I came off, oh, it wasn't maybe a lot of emotion to a lot of people, but I knew when I come off the platform, I had the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
We went to a little Wendy's there at home, and everybody was ordering, you know, giving their orders. Hey, what do you want? Here's what you want. I said, I just want to stand up in here and tell everybody, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. I am filled to the brim. And my cup is running over. And I still feel it tonight. I still want more of it tonight.
Amen.
It was a great thing. And then, oh, time went on. I just served God. I was trying to do whatever I could. We took the films of Brother Branham to different churches. Didn't matter what kind of church they were, we went there. It's a Baptist church, a Methodist church. It wasn't be a church at all. We'd sit up in a community building. And we were showing the films of Brother Branham everywhere we could go. Little Brother Dotson and I, his wife is the one that took the picture of the woman shattered to death. Have you seen it in they put it in the books. And she was the one that did. But we went out and we were showing films. Anybody that opened a door, we win. You know, I wasn't a preacher at that time, but I sure want to tell them what God had done for me.
All right.
About 1983, the Lord began to deal with me. And said, I want you to preach. And I said, Lord, are you sure? Me? Me be a preacher? Lord, that's the last thing I want to do. And I was talking to him. He's my best friend. I'll tell you how much I talked to him. Lord, I don't even like chicken. I don't even like chicken, Lord. I can't be a preacher. I'd say if I like chicken today. Now, I said, Lord, do you want me to preach? Me? No way. No, Lord, I'll call somebody else. You know, this person over here deserves it more than me. This one over here lives a better life than I do. Lord, let them be a preacher. And for 2 years, 2 years I dwelled on that. You know, I'd catch myself making notes. Well, what am I doing? Well, I don't need these notes. What am I making notes for? And so one day, you know, the Lord dwelled on my heart so strong. And finally I said, okay, God, I want to tell you something. If you want me to preach, I'm not telling my family. I'm not telling my pastor. I'm not telling anybody I know, not even my closest friends, that you're calling me to preach.
And if you want me to preach, you'll have to have somebody call me. Let me tell you, for 2 weeks, nothing happened. I thought, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that 2 weeks. Nobody's called. Boy, I've got it made. Then one night before Easter, about 3 weeks before Easter, my phone rang. Brother Charlie Spencer from Virginia. He said, Brother Ron, I don't know why, but I feel led to call you to come preach for me. I said, what? Yeah, you've got to come and preach for me. Also, Brother Charlie, why do you want me to come preach one service? Oh, no, it's an Easter weekend. You got to preach three. I said, three services? Yeah, I got off the phone. I have to be honest, I thought I was going to die. Three services? I ain't even told my pastor yet that I got to go preach three services. I haven't told my wife yet. I'm sure her face looked funny when I said, well, Brother Charlie wants me to come preach three services. Are you even a preacher? Yeah. Well, it looks like I'm going to be. So I went down. I preached Saturday night. I preached Sunday morning. And I survived Sunday night. And let me tell you, at the end of the service, Brother Charlie came to me. I was rehearsing this at our church the other day. Brother Charlie came to me, Brother Nathan. He said, here, I want to give you some money. I said, Brother Charlie, you don't have to give me any money. That's the last thing I want. I don't want to be a preacher out here taking money. He said, oh, no. He said, you've got to take. He gave me some cash. To this day, I have no idea how much it was. I have no idea. And I said, fine. I stuck it in my jacket pocket. I said, Brother Charlie, I didn't come for cash. I came because God called me to come down and preach. He said, oh, no. He said, we've got to take care of him. Now, I've been blessed. You know, Rhonda and I, and I'm not just saying this. Let me tell you, today, you all have blessed us. This weekend, you went out of your way. Many of you, and you said kind things, and they took care of us. They bought us rooms. They took care of our meals, and we fellowshipped, and we just had a great time, and I've enjoyed it. I know Rhonda and Angel's enjoyed it. But now, not every place you go to, I'm sure Brother Nathan could tell you, is that way. I remember, Rhonda will tell you, how many times we slept in the car. They couldn't afford to buy us a room. There were no rooms around to get. So we slept in the car. Well, let me tell you, it didn't change things. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah, I wasn't doing it because I wanted to go out there and stay in a nice hotel or because I wanted to have a nice meal. I was doing it because I wanted to serve him. And early in my ministry, she went a lot with me. You're blessed this week because she don't go to a lot of places. But I tell you, it's a blessing. I'm glad to have him here this weekend. So I came home with that money in my pocket. And I'm still struggling with, you know, in my mind, because of money he gave me. I said, Brother Charlie, I didn't come for money. And so, at that time, I owned one jacket. I went home and hung that jacket up in the closet. And the next weekend, yeah, I wore the suit. And I was sitting on the platform of our church. And I'm sitting there at the service. And I'd forgotten I'd put that money in my pocket. And I was going in along in the service. And all of a sudden, a voice speaks to me and says, that money in your pocket, I want you to give it to Brother Johnny Wyko, who's a deacon in our church now. He's in the back of the church. I want you to give that to him at the end of service. I said, okay, it's fine with me. So, you know, this service, we had a good service that day. Brother Roy preached. At the end of service, I'm going out the door, and there's Brother Johnny standing in the vestibule. I said, Brother Johnny, said, I don't know why, but God wants you to have this money. I never counted it. I have to know. I don't know any. I don't know how much it was. I just gave it to him and said, God wants you to have this money. He looked at me kind of funny, and I walked on. Went home that day. Then, you know, we had our lunch, and we come back and eat it for service. And after the night service, he said, I want to talk to you. I said, yes, sir.
He said, you didn't know it and nobody else knew it. He was having health issues at that time when he was working. He said, they were coming in the morning to cut my power off. And the money you gave me was exactly to the dollar the money I needed for my power bill. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve tonight. Amen. That's the kind of minister we want to be. We don't want to be a big me, little you. We're in this together.
Amen.
We're in this together. As we prepare to close, you know, I remember the meetings the Lord has gave us over the years. And Angela can tell you this. Daniel was just a baby. My youngest son was just a baby. We went to Brother Yancey's in Georgia to preach. And I preached on Saturday night. Always had such a wonderful time. Spirit of the Lord was there. It seemed like it just flowed freely. And you just worship God. And the people were blessed. We went out with the young people after church to get pizza that night. We stayed up till 1 o'clock. Just enjoying the presence of God and the fellowship of the people. We came back. Angela and my son Paul were with us. We went back to the hotel room, went to sleep. Everything was just fine. At 5 o'clock, I woke up. And my pillow was soaking wet where I was crying in my sleep. I was crying in my sleep. I woke up and the pillow was soaked. And I was just crying, sobbing. Not when he's crying, I was sobbing. And I woke up and said, Lord, did I say something wrong? Did I do something wrong? Lord, if I did, I'll make it right. And did I do it, Lord? Was it me? And, you know, and in a few minutes then, the Lord began to give me scriptures and I began to write them down in the book of Proverbs. I began to write the scriptures down. And there was such a feeling there, an anointing there. I would have put the message together, I just sat and cried. I mean, I just sobbed and cried. And I went to the church that morning and I got up and read the scripture. And the scriptures in Proverbs were a hard word brings a hard reply. And I preached on being a disappointment to God. A disappointment to God. We'd been working up in Amish country in Ohio that previous week. And we worked among the Amish. They were great people to work. All of them told me hillbilly jokes every day. And we were, you know, and I met one of them. And he was kind of a leader of the group. And he had a generator in his garage. And he was showing me how he worked the lights and stuff. I said, well, that's great. I said, well, does your wife get to use the generator in the home? Oh, no, she can't use it in the house. Well, why not? You're using it here in the garage. Anyway, we were back and forth. And I was kind of riding him. He's kind of riding me. And come down the road, my brother Eddie was with me, and he said, that's disappointing. I said, what do you mean? He goes, they claim to be one thing, but they're actually doing something else. I said, it's the same way we as believers claim to be one thing, and we do something else. Uh-huh. And I begin to tell the church that there at Brother Yancey's, how if we don't watch, we'll be a disappointment to God. Right. Well, it was deathly quiet. There were no amens. I cried through half of it because of just the spirit that I felt. I closed the service. I said, does anybody want to come up and pray? Nobody came up and prayed. I turned the service to Brother Yancey. And he got up behind the platform. And he said, truly, he said, we know God has spoke this morning. But he said, I want to say something. He said, you know, there have been a lot of things going on. And he said, my wife, Sister Ruth, said she goes and spends time with her family every year, kind of like a family reunion with her sisters. And said, I told her I didn't want you to leave because there's things going on here at the church. And he said, she said, well, I've made reservations. And he said, I have to be honest. He said, I didn't talk real good to her. I didn't speak like her like I should have. And he said, I want to tell her in front of everybody this morning that I was wrong. And when he did that, it was like a great bucket of conviction poured out upon the people.
And he said, now I want you, if you have said something wrong to somebody, he said, I want you to go make it right. And I was sitting on the front bench here. I'd already stepped down and was sitting there. And all of a sudden, when that God poured out that bucket of conviction, the people got up. People were going from the back to the front of the church. They were going from the left side to the right side of the church, back and forth. And I'm going to tell you a true statement. When I heard one brother say to another, he went over. He went from this side of the church to this side. And he said, brother, I want to shake your hand. He said, because I have talked about you like a dog. And I probably stood there with my mouth gapped open. Looking at all this, the conviction of God. People were making things right. They were saying, I'm sorry, my attitude was wrong. And they didn't want to be a disappointment to God. The song leader got up. Many of the musicians got up. The deacons even got up and said, look, our attitude's not been what it should have been. But we don't want to be a disappointment to God. Oh, it was one of the greatest meetings I ever had. But it was because God came on the scene. We don't want to be a disappointment to God. We want to be true. We want to be a true believer, don't we? And I remember that. And I remember those services. And I thank God every day He is still Jehovah Jireh. He knows what we need. We thank God for that today. If Ron and Angela, please come. Get any musicians, other musicians come. If Ron and Angela, please come. As you're sitting there this evening, we've enjoyed our fellowship here. It has been a real blessing this weekend to come and fellowship with you, your beautiful church, the beautiful spirit of the people, lovely musicians you have. But, you're just so blessed. You think Satan wants you to keep that? No, he doesn't. He wants to destroy unity. He'll do all he can to tear down everything in people's lives. There's a song we started singing at home. And Cover Me. I know, I think some of you have seen it here for a special. The man who wrote the song said, he was there one night and Satan come in and told him he's sick. You got cancer. Satan come in and told him, said, you're going to lose your job. He said, all night long he fought. Day after day, he fought with Satan. He'd come during the night to torment him. And he'd just cry out, Lord, let the peace of God cover me. Lord, let it cover me. And that's what we want to sing tonight. Peace of God, cover me. How many know the song? That's great because you can help me. Let's sing it to him now. Oh, peace of God, cover me. Again. devastated I was seeing to him. Oh,
peace.
Showed me your church. I looked in the back pane. The peace of God. I felt led to sing this song before I ever came. Lord, let the peace of God cover us. Oh Lord, when Satan comes in like a flood, Lord, let us, when all seems hopeless, when it looks like our faith is gone, Lord, that's when the blood of Jesus covers us. That's when the peace of God covers us. Oh, that's when His presence comes. And it covers us. It anoints us. It fills us. It seals us by the Spirit of God. And oh, let me tell you, Satan may rage. He may pour on the battle. But greater is He that lives in us tonight. Greater is He because He sent us a message of restoration. And we're free tonight. We're free from all Satan has sinned tonight. We are free people tonight. We love God for it. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, you laid this message on our heart before we even come. You laid this song upon our heart before we even come. Lord, many times we don't understand. We don't have to understand because you know. You have already provided, God. All we have to do is point people to the word. The word is our deliverer tonight. The Spirit of God anoints us. We're your children tonight, God. You see every home here. You see every person. You see those that desire to be filled with your Spirit. You see those that, Lord, want to be closer to you. You see, Lord, maybe homes that are broken. You see people's lives that are broken. Lord, you restore the broken pieces back together. That's the kind of God you serve tonight, Lord. That's the kind of God we worship tonight. We thank you for that, Father. And Lord, let the peace of God cover us tonight. Oh, that peace that passes all understanding, Father. We love you tonight. We commit these people to you, Lord. They're such a lovely group. They're a sweet presence here, Lord. Oh, may they go home better Christians, Lord. May they go home with more Jesus in their life than, Lord, when they came, Father. And Lord, if we just helped one person, it was worth all the trip just to help one person. We love you tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Oh, peace of God. these issues come up. Oh, peace of God, cover me all through the storm. Oh, cover me, and only in you I am saved, and only in you I am secure, and in you I find peace. So cover me, oh cover me, cover me when I am hurting, cover me when I'm not strong, cover me when I am going through the storm. Cover me when my faith is gone. Let the peace that passes all I understand. Oh, cover me. Anybody need prayer tonight? There's a special need in your life. You know, I believe prayer changes things, don't you?
Amen.
And as I said this morning, God can touch you right where you are. How many tonight said, Brother Ron, I want that peace. I want that peace that passes all understanding. When the storm comes, I need that in my life. I want that in my life. God bless you. Is there here tonight? You say, Brother Ron, my heart's not right with God, but I want it to be. But you want to raise your hand and say, remember me in prayer? God bless you. Amen. Only in you I am saved. Song, something keeps holding me. Let's sing that tonight. Something keeps holding me. We believe that tonight, don't you? It holds us.
Yes.
When we can't hold ourselves, it holds us. Amen. Go ahead and start that, Brother Nathan.
Something keeps holding me.
The trials.
just when I was on the verge of just giving over, because the strength within myself, it just wasn't there.
song of praise. Oh, it was grace that brought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love.
Help me sing it tonight.
Aren't you thankful?
Oh, I shall.
While we're here in His presence, let's just sing this to Him tonight. Oh, You could lock me up in a prison. You could throw away the key. Oh, You could take away the vision from these eyes that now can see. You could deprive so unworthy to live. just the grace of God that did that. We couldn't do it on our own. Amen. But His grace set us free. Amen. It's been good to be in church, hasn't it? Amen. Good to be in His presence. Certainly appreciate Brother Ron and, amen, his family coming and being with us this weekend. I believe it was ordained of God. Amen. I don't know if it didn't help anybody else. I believe it helped me, but I believe it helped a lot more than just me. Amen. I know sometimes people come out of church and say, Brother Nathan, that was just for me this morning. Maybe 10 or 15 of them. I think, goodness gracious, how could it all have been just for them? You know, when there's 10 or 15 more saying the same thing. But it's good that we take it that personal. Amen. Amen. When you listen to that tape, when you read that scripture in the Bible, when God deals with you in prayer, or a preacher gets up and preaches over the pulpit, we ought to be able to say, that was for me. Amen. That was for me. I needed that. Make it personal to you. Amen. You know, going through the motions or going through traditions or just being a group thing that we just get together and recite a bunch of things or do a bunch of things, it'll never be enough. It's got to become something personal with us, that this is what Jesus did for me. Amen. It should be Jesus Christ speaking to us, speaking to hearts, changing lives. Amen. I'm so thankful to see what He's doing. We're so blessed. Amen. So blessed. Amen. Got a text from a brother the other day. I don't want to go into too much details, but was just saying about some things that has been going on with his family since they've been coming here. And I thought, all right, just the grace of God. Just the grace of God, how that God can change a situation from what it used to be. Maybe look like there's no hope. Maybe look like giving up. Say, well, there's just no way. With God, there's always a way. Amen. Amen. He makes a way where there is no way. Amen. He makes a way where it's seemingly absolutely impossible, but then God comes on the scene. Our Bible is full of stories like that. I mean, there was three Hebrew children getting ready to be cast into a fiery furnace. Absolutely no way. No way for them to be delivered. Amen. Even this story Brother Ron was telling tonight, I remember looking at it a few years ago and thinking how great that God is, that of all the times for the king to call for Gehazi, He calls for him to be there that day. He could have called for him the day before Brother Hoover. He could have called for him the day after. Called, said, Gehazi, come share some testimonies with me about Elisha. He'd had 7 years he could have called for him to share testimonies about Elisha. But God's an on-time God. And He has him right there at the right place at the right time. But that wasn't enough. He said, tell me some testimonies. He said, oh my, one of my favorites. Let me tell you about this little woman in Shunem. You won't believe this, King. And he gets to tell him this. Maybe he got anointed and got excited, began to tell him, oh, I was right there. I saw the little boy before, and I saw the little boy after. No breath in his body before. And then a man of God goes up and prays for him. He said, oh, King, he said, oh, my, it was just so. He said, well, that's that lady right there in line. That's her. I think that's the little boy, isn't it, sister? She said, yes, this is him. He's still well, 7 years later. So King said, what did you have need of? I said, oh, just a little thing about my land. I said, well, goodness gracious, that's no big thing for me. Tell him to give you the land back, give you your fruits, give you everything. He's an on-time God.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes right in the nick of time. If she had came the day before, the day after, might not have nothing happened. But God had her right there at the right place at the right time. Laid the right story on Gehazi's heart. Amen. He's an on-time God. Let's sing that tonight before we go. Oh, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Oh, church, I tell you, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Well, He may not come when you want Him to, but He'll be there right on time. Oh, He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He's an on-time God. Oh, yes, He is. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. Well, He may not come when you want Him to, but He'll be there right on time. Oh, He's
Say it's been good to be in church. Brother Nathan asked if I would just dismiss in prayer, but I'd like to take the time to publicly give the devil a black eye and testify of my son's healing. It'll be complete, and it might not be perfect today, but it could be perfect in 4 minutes or 4 hours or 4 days. And those mountains that you're facing will be the same way. They won't be any different. Sure, encourage my heart. Listen to Brother Lilly say how God delivered him and restored him. So I know he can do it for us.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow before we go. Dear Heavenly Father, we can truly say it's been an honor to be in the house of the Lord, to be with saints and just people that want to draw closer to you, Lord. We thank you for Brother Lilly and his family, Lord, that he's come and sacrificed his time and efforts and study in the Word to be sensitive to your leading, to give us just what we have need of. And we appreciate you meeting needs tonight, changing lives, healing the sick, Lord. We love when you come in our midst, Lord. And thank you for touching us, Lord. I pray that you grant each one a special blessing. Give them traveling mercies. Give them strength on their jobs. May they be a shining light so that that last one can come in. We can get out of here, Lord. And I pray that you just protect each one, lead and guide us with your spirit, bring us back at the appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. Let's sing it as we go.
He's an on-time God.
Yes, he is.